Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join the show here on broadcast radio, on live streaming, later on via podcast. You can be on it. All you got to do is dial in and join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight is Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything that's on your mind. One of the things we've focused on a lot in recent weeks has been the banking crisis situation, which I don't actually have any new news about tonight on that front. We know that last week there were some banks that seemed to be teetering on the edge of failure after the the number two largest bank to fail in the United States history went down recently, which was First Republic Bank.
Oh.
No, it was Silicon Valley.
Silicon was the biggest.
No. Silicon was the second largest until First Republic Bank, which is now the second largest. So Silicon is now the third largest bank to fail. So you've had some major bank failures in just the last few weeks. And, of course, we've talked about, you know, some things that people can do. Now, we're not financial advisors or anything like that, but you know, we can say what we would do and what, you know, of course, if I were not under stupid bail conditions, I would be more free to do. But, I can't do crypto investing, but I can certainly buy gold and or silver. And so a lot of people like us, liberty-minded people, like precious metals, like cryptocurrency as alternatives to the U.S. dollar. If the dollar is going to continue going down in value, which that's kind of what the dollar is programmed to do. That is the purpose of the dollar. That is.
Isn't it the only thing it can do? Like, there's no such thing as deflating the dollar.
They can
change the interest rates, stop giving out loans. But doesn't that just stop it from inflating? It doesn't deflate, right?
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Bonnie, as far as if they raise interest rates, that just stops loans from being created. So I think you're correct about that. But technically, when there is a loan that is paid back, that is technically deflating the money supply. So when the whole point of the loans the banks do is there's something going on outside, so a little distracting. But the banks, they create, you know, I don't know how many billions or hundreds of billions of dollars in loans every single year. And so whenever those loans get paid back, that is deflating the money supply from where it inflated it to. So when the banks create a new loan, they're inflating the money supply because the banks are able to inflate. That's kind of like one of the
creating money out of thin air because they don't actually have the money, but they're loaning the money to someone. So that's basically creating new money.
Right. And that is part of how the system inflates the money supply. So there's the traditional method that we talk about a lot where the federal government essentially just turns on the printing presses with their buddies over at the Federal Reserve. That's kind of like the main, at least it's the main bad guy kind of inflation, because that stuff never gets paid back.
Yep.
When the federal government says we need $1 trillion to do a bailout of COVID or whatever, you know, give businesses hundreds of billions of dollars, et cetera, like they did
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Yeah, or whoever it is. Bail out GM or Ford or whoever the current too big to fail person is. That money gets printed up and it gets spent. And then that's the end of it. But with bank loans, as long as the person doesn't default on the loan, then that will get paid back at some point. So, yes, that does deflate the money supply when bank loans are paid back. That is true.
But after inflating it. So it's not like,
right.
That's the thing. I'm saying, like, overall, it's never going to be like the U.S. dollar deflated 100% in a year. Like, that will never happen.
No, I can't see how that could possibly happen.
It's like how Joe Biden claimed that gas prices went down under him at the beginning, but it was because they went way up and then down. They were still up from when he first got in. Remember that? And the Jen Psaki lady was like, gas prices have gone down under Joe Biden. They went way up, then went a little down.
Quote-unquote down.
Not all the way back to even where they had started. And it's, I know it's not Joe Biden's fault. It's just these number games they play.
Yeah. I mean, it was Trump that signed the first big COVID bailout anyway. So, I mean, he and Biden get just as much credit.
I don't see how it couldn't be like even connected to Trump, considering it was at the beginning of Biden's term anyway. I mean,
it's hard to know. I mean, there's different things that go into to gas prices.
My point was just that it's not that gas prices ever actually went down. It's not like Joe Biden or anyone in that time drove down gas prices. They just went way up, then leveled out a little.
Right.
Went a little closer to normal. Yeah.
So we're going to continue the economic discussion here, though. If you want to weigh in, you are welcome to join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. Bonnie is going to share with us coming up. And I don't know if we're going to start with this, but we're going to get into it shortly. She's got six different things that somebody who wrote the article from FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education, would tell themselves, their 18-year-old self, and it's financial tips, right?
Yeah, financial advice.
So we can talk about that coming up here, because Americans need good financial advice. And I'm sorry, we're not financial advisors, but Americans need good financial ideas, I would say.
Tips.
Now more than ever.
Axioms.
The dollar is under attack in a big, big way. And it is not a safe haven for people. You're not going to be able to get ahead of the game by sitting in the dollar.
One thing I would have wanted to tell myself when I was 18, and I didn't know what it meant until I was probably like 24, was just what it means when I had heard people say, like Glenn Beck, maybe like people on Fox News that have said it a million times, but I never stopped to think about what it meant when they say, a hedge against inflation. I never even thought about it. It's like I heard those words so many times, like on Fox News and like whenever they're selling gold, but I never thought about what it meant. What it is inflation is always happening, and the value of your dollar is always going down in your bank account, even if the number of dollars in your bank account doesn't change, in a way to hedge or give yourself some safety from that inflating, you know, value loss, is to buy something that doesn't do that, like gold.
Or hopefully won't. It's
yeah,
not like
I know.
Bet,
that's why right? it's not sure, but it's been sure, or been pretty sure over the last, like...
Centuries. Yeah.
I mean, Bitcoin is something that could go way up in value, or it could go way down.
Yeah, that's true.
But gold has been pretty sure to just be pretty steady, if not slowly rising.
Yeah, it tends to keep up with inflation, because as the money supply inflates, the price of gold goes up, just like other prices go up. It's just a lot easier to store precious metals than it is to store bananas or something else that could go up in value, right? Like eggs also have gone up in price, but
it's just
you wouldn't be well off if you bought a bunch of eggs.
Because they would go away.
Spoil and break, and so you need to have something that's more like money.
Yep. Whenever I would try to start saving money when I was younger, like 19, right out of high school, with like a job at a hotel, whenever I would start trying to save money, it's like, whenever I needed to spend it on something, it was like, I can't even believe how much time it took to put that away, and it's just poof, just gone. It's because it literally was not worth what it was worth when I first put the first dollar in.
Yeah, that's true, and that is the problem with saving. I mean, when I grew up, my parents taught me about saving, and I'm glad they did. I mean, I still think it's an important habit to get into. Because the saving habit does teach you to not spend to your income, and that or not spend whatever it is that you earn. And that's important. Most Americans don't understand this at all. And they spend more than what they earn. And so those people are in debt. In fact, I don't know if I had the story I was looking for just before we started the show, but, you know, credit card debt is at another record high, as I understand it. $4.8 trillion. I should have it right here. $4.8 trillion in March is the total credit card debt in the United States. So people are getting into debt for, like we talked about just a couple weeks ago, there's, I think, 1 out of 10 Americans that are putting their groceries on buy now, pay later. If you have a savings habit, you're more likely to be adjusting your spending based on the money that you're making, and so therefore you're always able to put something away. The mistake, and the thing that my parents didn't teach me in, you know, when I was a kid, was to put your savings into something besides the dollar.
Yep.
So, like, if you're good at saving, that's great. That's step number one. Get good at that.
Well, you know, my parents really, they did talk about gold, because my dad, he always wanted to have gold. But it just, like, it didn't click to me why. I don't know. I just thought, this is what I really thought. I thought, you buy gold because one day it could be worth $1 million. Like, I didn't think of it as, you buy it, you're not going to sell it later on and get super rich. You're just going to have a similar amount to what you bought it for. Because my brain would have been like, why would you do that? Because
you didn't know about inflation.
I didn't know about I did not understand inflation, right, even though I'd heard the word a million times.
Well, and that's a failing, of one of the many failings of the government school or government indoctrination system where, like in the mainstream media, the government school, quote-unquote, economics classes, they teach you that inflation is a rise in prices. And so I don't know what your dad knows or didn't know at the time about inflation, but if he's like most Americans, there's a good chance he didn't know what it was. So, you know, how can you fight something you don't understand, right? You've got to know what the definition of a thing is in order to actually be able to do something about it.
And that's why I think things like gun safety are important, because knowledge is the first step to being able to protect yourself in any situation, and things like sex education. I just don't understand how you cannot understand that all three of those things have the same exact principle. You learn about money because knowledge is a tool to keep yourself from going broken, being, you know, homeless. You learn about gun safety because it's a tool to know how to use it when the time is right, and to know how to not accidentally shoot yourself, and to, you know, just use basic safety protocol to not harm anyone else. And you learn about sex and STDs so you understand the risks.
You are referring to a controversy that has been going on online recently involving you, as I understand it, with some conservative, quote-unquote, conservative-leaning libertarians that are flipping out over sex education, basically. It's flipping out over...
It is why I brought it up, but mostly I was just talking about how principles among a million things are the same. But yes, they're just trying to say if you teach kids about sex, the rate of STDs will go up, which is silly. That's just ridiculous. Like, you're not going to stop kids from having sex by hoping they won't find out about it.
And we can talk more about that, you know, later on if you want to.
Kids, but, you know, people who are, like, your offspring / people who are young now.
Yeah. So we can talk about that later. That's definitely an interesting topic. If you want to weigh in, though, you're welcome to join us at 603-283-6160. So I mentioned the massive credit card debt that people are experiencing, and there's just a quickie here from CBS News about Americans and their difficulties financially that they're having. A new survey from Bankrate shows that the rising interest rates, inflation, and unstable income are damaging the mental well-being of a growing number of Americans. Money was cited by 52% of survey respondents as having a negative impact on their mental health. That's more than any other factor cited in the survey, including concerns about health or relationships with family and friends, and a significant rise from the 42% of respondents who pointed to financial concerns last year.
That just makes me really sad.
So you're talking about a 25% increase in a period of 1 year. You went from 42% to 52% in 1 year. That's a lot more people that are saying money is causing them stress right now.
Yep.
And that is sad because, you know, stress is going to come out in different ways, right? Like it could be a more difficult family environment for you at home. It could be just health issues that are manifested, because if your body is stressed constantly, if your mind is stressed constantly, you are like the definition of unwell.
Yep.
And that
you make bad decisions when you're stressed.
Sure.
Your immune system is weakened when you're stressed.
So being unwell and immune system being weak and all that can lead to further unwellness, right? More sickness being manifested.
Which can cost money.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a great point. So all of these things are compounding problems. And, of course, the government isn't going to do anything to help you about this.
They're causing the problem.
That's right. They are the money system. They are the people who are doing this to you. The Federal Reserve is doing this to you. And so, according to the survey, 82% of those who are the ones that are having the negative mental health because of money, 82% of those say they worry about money at least once a month, and that those concerns cause them stress and anxiety, as well as loss of sleep and depression. The survey found that 57% of respondents think about money every day, compared to 52% last year.
I remember when I was a DoorDasher and like things like I made a purchase that I didn't really realize I shouldn't have made at the time, because I just like didn't realize how much I was going to bring in that week. I remember sincerely losing sleep over it, like laying there like,
Wow. Why
did I do that? That was so stupid. This could be such a big deal. Like, you know, that feeling of like you're kind of like your head gets hot. You can't sleep because you're so like stressed out. I don't know any other way to put it. Yeah. It's like anxiety hitting you because you're worrying about what's going to happen next. And
how am I going to pay this bill?
And like when I crashed my car, I did not know what I was going to do. I had quit my job only like a couple weeks before. I was like just looking for a new job and doing Postmates in between.
Mm-hmm.
I took my eyes away from the wheel for a second and hit a pole.
Oof.
And I totaled my car that way. That was like a nice car that was almost paid off. Anyways, yeah. So that kind of thing just happens. You don't have savings. And
if you don't have savings,
so many
problems. That's a huge problem.
And I mean, how many people really have like a huge savings that in this economy? Not that many. People are buying groceries with buy now, pay later.
The survey shows Americans are increasingly worried about inflation, as well as about being in debt, paying for housing, and lacking enough funds for emergency or discretionary spending. Ted Rossman, the senior industry analyst for Bankrate, said despite a strong job market, wage growth has not kept pace with a rising cost of living. Debt has been rising and savings have been dwindling. And this is something we were talking about at the time when, you know, we were seeing the inflation that was going on, when they were printing out $2 trillion the first time, and then I think another close to $2 trillion the next time. Under Trump and then under Biden. When that happened, we said on the air that wages will go up, because when costs rise, you know, inevitably wages are going to follow, but they always trail, you know, 6 months or a year or whatever behind, because your boss, when his costs increase, he's not going to go right over to his employees and ask them if they want more money right away. He's going to see how long he can put it off before, you know, raising those rates. So even if you did get a decent raise, like if you went from $10 to $20 an hour, it's probably still later than it would have been actually helpful for you to do that. And, of course, the inflation is always going on.
And who goes from $10 to $20 an hour?
So I bet you somebody did out there.
Oh, I guess in Florida they changed to $15 an hour minimum wage like last year, the year before.
Well, I'm not talking about a minimum wage. I'm just talking about the market moving. I'm talking about when business owners felt like they had to increase wages because everyone else was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
When you started to see signage, like here in New Hampshire, the minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour, $7.50, whatever the federal minimum is. But you can't find a job for that. You can't find a job lower than $13 an hour probably up here.
Yeah.
It'd be very, very difficult.
I really doubt you can, because when I moved here, there were signs in Aldi that said, now hiring starting at $12.50 an hour, and that was 2020.
And now it's 16.
Well, I don't even know. I just know that there's
no way
it went
down.
We've been
to Aldi pretty recently, and if you look at whenever that you see the hiring signs, it's at least, I believe it says starting at $16 an hour.
Yeah, I've only been here 2 years, and it went up $4.
That's like, you know, a 33-40% increase at Aldi.
Yep.
And so these are businesses that are responding to the market. They know they have to pay more because everybody else is paying more. But at some point, you know, they're still not catching up because you don't get raises every month, right? But inflation keeps going. The money keeps continuing to, you know, the money supply keeps going up as government continues to print more and more of it out. And, of course, we also have the other problem that we've talked a little bit about of how these different central banks around the world, some of them are getting rid of their dollar holdings. And that means that unless the Federal Reserve can find, you know, new buyers for those things, then they're going to come back into the United States. Those dollars are going to come internationally, flowing back into the United States from these other holders of dollars out there. They're saying, yeah, no thanks. We don't want any of these dollars. We want to get rid of these dollars.
Mexico? Did you say Mexico's doing
it? I don't know if Mexico's doing it. I know Japan is, I think, getting rid of some of theirs. And I don't know the whole story of which countries are doing it. Pecos Mountaineer, our Saturday night co-host, has talked about this. But Japan is one of them, probably China as well, because China's trying to kind of move things from dollar-based trade to yuan, which is their own central bank currency. So we did talk about recently, Bonnie, how Brazil, which is the largest economy in South America, Brazil and China, which is now Brazil's largest trading partner, they've surpassed the United States in being the largest trading partner for Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
They used to use dollars to trade with China, which makes no sense, right? So they're now no longer doing that. Now Brazil and China are using their respective currencies from their own countries to trade between one another. That's a huge change. That's them signaling to the rest of the world saying, we don't value dollars like we used to, and we're not going to use dollars like we used to. We're going to use fewer of them. And so if their central banks are taking that to heart, then they're selling off their dollar inventory, and that means they're pushing the price of the dollar down on the world market, and those dollars are going to come back into the United States. So that may actually result in more dollars in the United States, which is
chasing
after the same amount of goods, so therefore you're going to see prices go up even further. So people are having problems out there. Credit card debt hit a record $4.8 trillion in March, according to Federal Reserve data. And Bonnie's got some suggestions coming up here we're going to get into. Six things, according to one of the folks over at the Foundation for Economic Education, that they wish they would have told themselves when they were 18 years old about money. We're going to get into it coming up here. You can share your thoughts and bring up whatever's on your mind. The number 603-283-6160, whether it's about, you know, maybe your tips for savings or whatever you want, it is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Thank you. USA News update. The White House is urging Congress to act in the wake of this weekend's mass shooting in Texas.
When we have 200 mass shootings in less than 130 days, more than one a day, this is a crisis. Congress must do something about it.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre criticized Republicans in Congress for refusing to take up gun control legislation, including an assault weapons ban. Tomorrow, President Biden will meet with top congressional leaders to discuss raising the debt ceiling. Republicans want budget cuts tied to raising the debt limit, but the White House wants a clean bill. The U.S. could default if action's not taken by early June. Jury deliberations begin tomorrow in the civil rape trial against former President Trump. During closing arguments in the case, a lawyer for E. Jean Carroll told jurors his client was exactly Trump's type. Trump denies any wrongdoing. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Show here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And it's funny.
So there's a lot to talk about from a financial perspective. Just caught news that another Bitcoin exchange or another exchange is going bankrupt. And we'll tell you which one if we get a chance a little bit later on.
When did you hear about that?
Just a few moments ago, I just happened to see in this story about that we're sharing with you about people's finances in the United States causing stress.
It just keeps happening. Those exchanges keep being like, yep, we're not doing business in the United States. All it's going to do is make Bitcoin continue, but the United States get left behind.
Well, yeah, and we also definitely have to talk about Bitcoin as well with the insane fees that are apparently hitting the Bitcoin network.
Terrible. It's making it completely useless for electronic cash.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. In fact, I actually have a website pulled up right now thanks to our chat room over at chat.freetalklive.com, the on-air now chat. They reminded me about this site, which, you know, because of my bail conditions, I'm not able to use cryptocurrency. But that doesn't mean I can't learn about what's going on with cryptocurrency. Right now, mempool.space, this is updating every, I think, roughly 10 minutes with every new Bitcoin block that gets mined into existence. With current estimated prices for a Bitcoin transaction. A low priority transaction right now. That means, you know, I'm willing to wait for a little while.
It gets there when it gets there.
It'll get there eventually.
Like a week.
I don't know. I don't know what the low priority will get you as far as time frame. That's actually an interesting question. I think they actually do have that information here. That might be like 20 minutes or something like that. Anyway, $15.51. If you are willing to wait hours and hours and hours and hours.
For any amount, right? Does the amount you send change it?
No.
Oh.
Generally not. Okay, so there's an asterisk next to that, Bonnie. So let me try to give a brief explanation of something that's relatively technical. The way Bitcoin and a lot of these cryptocurrencies work is there's something called an unspent transaction output. Basically, whenever you send out Bitcoin and you get some Bitcoin back in, like, so for instance, if you sent out a tenth of a Bitcoin to somebody, let's say you started with a third of a Bitcoin and you sent out a tenth of a Bitcoin,
okay,
right? You'd get back 0.23 Bitcoin. Because what happens is you had a third of a Bitcoin. You send it all out to the person who's, it's not even going to a person, but to the wallet that is receiving it, and then the quote-unquote change comes back to you. Now, you don't see this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we discussed at the Crypto 6 trial, it doesn't actually get sent anywhere. It's just all transactions
on
a ledger.
Being represented on a ledger, yeah, and the numbers will change.
Yeah, numbers change. But the way they do it is they have these things called change addresses. So whenever you send from the address that you think you have, in most cases, the change comes back to a different address. It's like a hidden address. It's in your wallet. You own that address. You just don't know it's there. Now, you can find it if you really want to. But to the average user, it's kind of transparent. This is a process you don't need to really know about. And if we didn't have these stupid fees going on, I wouldn't have to give this explanation.
Yeah.
This is a complex explanation.
Noticeable.
Well, I haven't even gotten to the reason I'm telling you about this yet.
Okay.
So when you're in a Bitcoin wallet, all you see is the total amount of Bitcoin you have, right?
Yeah.
You don't know how many addresses actually contain that Bitcoin. It may be 100 different addresses. If you've been using the same wallet for some time and you've been, let's say, here's another example. So some wallets, a lot of them, what they call HD wallets, I don't remember what that stands for. But these HD wallets, it's not high density, okay? It's not high definition. No, it's neither of those things. But these HD wallets, whenever you hit like receive to get a new like let's say your friend says, I want to give you some Bitcoin. Say, okay, cool. Receive, right? It gives you an address. Your friend sends you some Bitcoin. The next time you press receive, your wallet will give you, if it's an HD wallet, will give you a new address.
Yeah.
You've seen this happen.
Edge does it.
Okay. So that's an example of what... So let's say you have 20 different
friends.
But
the old one will still work.
The old one will still work.
What you're trying to explain.
That's correct. Now, this is good from a privacy standpoint, okay? Meaning that if you give your one friend your address, this at first address, and then you give a different friend a different address, then both of your friends don't know. They can't go and look at your total amount that you have because friend A sent to the first address and friend B sent to the second address.
Why would that make them look at your total amount?
Well, they wouldn't necessarily, but they can, right? Bitcoin's a public blockchain. Let's say they just wanted to see how many people had sent you Bitcoin at that address. They could just go type it into Block Explorer and they can pull it up.
Okay.
But if they only have one of the addresses, they can only see that one address. They don't know how many other addresses are associated with your Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you've had 100 different transactions, whether it be your friend or whether it be just some customer of yours who is sending the coins to you. And it's been like 2 years. You've never spent any of this Bitcoin. You've just been receiving Bitcoin, receiving Bitcoin, receiving Bitcoin. It's just been sitting there. Well, you've got Bitcoin in 100 different addresses in that case. You don't know it because all you see is just the total amount of Bitcoin. What happens when you send that Bitcoin, Bonnie, is that your wallet essentially looks at those addresses and says, is the amount of Bitcoin that you have in these addresses enough to send the amount you want to send out, right? Okay, yes, great, we can send it. But if it's more than the amount in one of those addresses, it has to send from more than one of them.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. So when it has to send from more than one address, that essentially means that the Bitcoin transaction is larger, meaning the actual bytes, the number of bytes. So do you know what a byte is?
Storage.
So it's it's essentially the basic level of one of the most basic levels of file information or storage information, right? So there's a bit and then there's a byte. There's, I believe, 8 bits in a byte. So Bitcoin is based on bytes. Bitcoin's prices is based on the number of bytes in a transaction. That doesn't have to do with the amount of Bitcoin that you're sending. Because if you got 100 different Bitcoin transactions that were a whole Bitcoin each, like let's say you got them back when Bitcoins were a dollar a piece or whatever, you got 100 Bitcoin transactions coming in and they were a dollar a piece. Well, you have 100 Bitcoin, but they're in 100 different Bitcoin wallets. So when you go to, if you wanted to send 100 Bitcoin, it would cost you 100 times as much, roughly, than the one. Maybe that's not true, but it would cost you a lot more. Whereas if you had all of the Bitcoin in one address, it would cost you less. Because the more addresses you have your coins spread across, the more complicated that transaction is to send. Because your wallet has to send it out of a bunch of different locations. Has that made any sense whatsoever?
Makes sense, but I don't really remember why you started telling me this.
Yeah, so I was trying to give as simple
of an
explanation.
You went more into the weeds than any Friday show I've ever heard.
I know.
For some reason.
Well, it's because you asked the question.
I don't remember what question I asked.
Well, the question was essentially, does it cost more to send a small Bitcoin transaction than a large Bitcoin transaction? And when I say small and large, I mean amounts. Meaning, does it cost more to spend a hundredth of a Bitcoin?
Yeah, my question
was,
whole
Bitcoin?
Does the fee change if you're sending more Bitcoin than if you're sending $5 of Bitcoin?
And the answer is, it depends. And that was my best way of explaining.
So would it be smarter
how it
for
depends.
People to only spend large, make big purchases out of a new wallet? Because I've never really thought of it like that. If it's going to cost more money to use the same wallet you use all the time.
Well,
will it be so small that it won't really matter, or?
Okay, so I actually am not enough of an engineer to really know. There may actually be unspent transaction outputs on a single wallet as well. So I don't actually know, and that would be a good question for somebody who's a little more technical on Bitcoin than I am. But basically, the summary is the more your Bitcoin is sort of fractionalized, the more it is spread across different Bitcoin wallets, the higher the price of the transaction is going to be. So one person who sends, let's say, a tenth of a Bitcoin, but theirs is all in one wallet, is going to be paying less than another person who sends a tenth of a Bitcoin, but it's spread across a dozen different wallets because the wallet has to do more work. It has to send more data in order for the network to process that transaction. That's why what I like to look at is an average transaction or a median transaction fee. And when you look at that data, it kind of gives you a better idea for what some people are paying out there. Because your mileage may vary. I guess that's the best way to answer is your mileage may vary. It just depends on the complexity, sort of the digital complexity of the transaction.
All I know, to bring this into the real world, that the other day I was going to pay for about $12 worth of food in Bitcoin just because...
When you say the other day, this
like
matters
one
because...
1 week ago.
Okay. That's actually back when the Bitcoin transaction fees weren't totally insane. Like
maybe
right
like
now.
A day less than 1 week ago, but not more than a week ago. I was going to buy like $12 worth of food, like I said. And the person I was going to buy from the store, they prefer Bitcoin. So I was like going for Bitcoin. And I was just like, I happened to look. Because like usually I almost don't even look at the fees. The fees are like so small normally that it almost doesn't matter. But that time I noticed because it was $10. So it would have been $22 instead of $12 for the food. So I was like, whoa, oh my God, can I just send like Dash or something like that?
Yeah.
And he said, or you could pay the load thing if you don't care. And even that was expensive. It was still like at least like
$2,
which is just kind of crazy. So I think I sent it like that, and I should probably check with him if it went through.
Yeah, that is a problem, because if you send your Bitcoin transaction with a low fee and the people are essentially outbidding you, then it may take days before your transaction goes through. In fact, they said recently that there were more Bitcoin transactions that were waiting to be processed than in all of history. 500,000 transactions were waiting to be processed. And right now, do I have the number of what it is? Yeah, right now it's 466,000 of them. And I think Bitcoin moves through like 7 transactions a second or something like that. It might be, I don't know what it is offhand. It's something very, very low. So if you want to comment, you can hear the number 603-283-6160. And, you know, one of the interesting things that's going on with, Bitcoin is sort of the social aspect of it. Where on one hand you have people like Bonnie who see the price and they say, screw this. I'm not going to spend $10 just so I can buy some, you know, cup of coffee or whatever. That's, no one in their right mind would do that. So I think it's obvious that Bitcoin is not what it once was sort of advertised as by its creator, Satoshi Nakamoto. And I would hope that Satoshi Nakamoto would be sad to see the situation that his creation has ended up in here, where now the average transaction fee, according to, I mean, this is yesterday, so it's probably higher, it may be higher today, I don't know. But yesterday, the average transaction fee, according to bitinfocharts.com, was $19.20.
Average.
That was the average fee. Now, if we switch it to the median.
Think about how much money you'd have to be spending to just think $19 isn't a big deal for taxes.
That's,
you know,
a huge deal. That's like wire transfer fees.
Like, how long would it take at like 8% to get to $19 if you're paying groceries?
I don't know.
I thought you'd probably be able to do that.
Sorry, I wasn't paying total attention.
So you're paying for groceries. How much money would you have to spend if 8% is the tax? Okay, what if 9% is the tax? $200? Or 10% of the tax?
Yeah, 10% would be $20. Yeah.
So you have to spend $200 to get a $20 tax if taxes were 10%.
Uh-huh. Some places.
So you got to spend way more than $200 if taxes are 8%, because they're not 10% in most places.
Best cities like New York, I bet you they are.
But if you're buying a $5 cup of coffee, that's just crazy. You wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, $20 taxes, whatever.
So yesterday, the Bitcoin median transaction fee, because remember, median is different from an average. Right. Median transaction fee yesterday was $11.05. So that's pretty typical. When you look at a median transaction, it's like, yeah, half transactions are more than that, half of them are less than that. So people are paying a lot of money for these Bitcoin transactions. And the Bitcoin cultists, these Bitcoin maximalists,
they're defending it. It was never supposed to be peer-to-peer. How was it never supposed to be peer-to-peer electronic cash if those words are in the white paper?
It's literally the title, the subtitle of the white paper.
I can't imagine saying that. It's so stupid.
But they ignore that, and they say that, oh, well, Bitcoin has changed over the years, and so it's okay, and, you know, we just needed to have NFTs, and we needed tokens.
Super late, too. Like, no one is asking for NFTs right now. NFTs are super over.
I mean, there's still somebody out there buying NFTs, but it isn't the craze that it was 2 years ago.
That's what I mean. I don't mean literally no one. I mean, there's not a big demand. No. There weren't people knocking down Bitcoin's doors like, add ordinals and NFTs, we need this. As if they wouldn't just be able to use a different blockchain for it anyway.
Yep. So that's what you're referring to there, Bonnie, is what is ostensibly pushing up these Bitcoin prices is because there's all kinds of things that are going on now on Bitcoin that didn't happen a few weeks ago, apparently. And that has done it. So anyway, all that to say, Bitcoin is useless for small purchases. It's not even very friendly for large purchases because there are so many other cryptocurrencies that can do it and do it better. And why would you want to fumble around with a Lightning wallet, which, by the way, I saw somebody offered you some free Satoshis to transact on the Lightning Network on your post
Twitter?
That you made on Twitter.
I didn't even see that. Yeah. Well, I usually block anything that looks like a bot talking about
crypto.
No,
this is the New Hampshire Bitcoin account.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't notice that.
So, I mean, that might be interesting to see how difficult or easy Lightning is, because I've heard different things about it. I can't use it myself, so I can't speak to it personally.
Yeah, I've never used Lightning. I read about it when you were in jail, just because I was just kind of like, why do all my friends not seem to like Lightning? It seems like from the basics I've heard about it just on like Twitter, it sounds like a good solution. I read about it, and I was just kind of like, okay, sounds a little complicated, but it's like the answer to why all my friends don't like it is because why use a second layer when you can just use Bitcoin Cash, when you can just use Dash?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
exactly
make any sense.
Why do you need to add more complexity?
And people will always tell you, like when you bring up the fact that sometimes it doesn't even go through on the Lightning Network, they'll be like, oh, that's so uncommon. Well, it's never happened to me on Bitcoin Cash. It's never happened to me ever on Dash. The fact that it's, like, heard of at all to happen on Lightning Network, that's pretty bad.
By the way, it's worth mentioning here that Dash is a sponsor here on Free Talk Live. In fact, the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization is sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. And we would talk about Dash even if they didn't send us the 32 Dash per month. But
yeah, but this, I was just talking about it because I was literally meaning what I was saying.
Gives us the excuse to talk about it every night because it's more important now. It was really good timing because all of a sudden Bitcoin transactions are insanely expensive. Anyway, Dash.org is where you can learn more about Dash. And Dash is the cryptocurrency that is designed to be used for spending. That is what the Dash team has focused on. Dash doesn't care about NFTs. Dash doesn't care about, you know, whatever other tokens and the, you know, whatever stuff that they're pushing out there, the hot topic in cryptocurrency.
The biggest Dash person I know in New Hampshire lives on cryptocurrency.
Yep.
Like, actually spends it every single day only and doesn't spend dollars at all.
Correct. You're talking about Joel Valenzuela.
Yes.
Yeah, and so Dash is an amazing thing. It's out there. It's been out there for a long time. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies.
And doesn't it stand for digital cash?
That's right. Dash is digital cash. We've seen these fees from Bitcoin, but Dash continues to have fees that are less than 1 cent per transaction. Somebody did the calculation online the other day, and they said that you could do like tens of thousands of Dash transactions for the price of one Bitcoin transaction. It was like 18,000 Dash transactions or something like that for just one. I mean, if not more than that at this point, because Bitcoin prices, transaction prices keep going up. So, but what are some of the features about Dash? Like, why are they so great for spending? Well, from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible. The network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. This is something that Dash created. They are a smaller cryptocurrency, right?
What exactly is a 51% attack?
Good question. It's where a hostile force would take over 51% of the mining operations out there, the mining hash rate, if you will, so the sort of the power of the miners.
I didn't understand it before because I thought it was 51% of the this person or entity would own 51%. That's what I thought. I didn't know it was the 51%.
They would own 51%
of
the mining power.
Yeah.
Not 51% of the Dash.
Yeah.
And then if they have the 51% of the mining power, they can then sort of falsify they can kind of cook the books at that point. Meaning that, and when I say that, I don't mean that they could they can't spend your Dash out of your Dash wallet. That's one thing that 51% attack cannot do.
Well, they can't do a 51% attack on Dash at all. So
correct.
You're just saying, like, in a different crypto.
But this is the big fear that the Bitcoin maximalists will try to plant in people. It's like, ooh, if you don't use Bitcoin, you're risking a 51% attack. It's not secure. Those other chains aren't secure. Not true with Dash. Dash has absolute security when it comes to this, and they use their masternodes to help achieve that security.
And
Dash
the other
is different.
That the Bitcoin maximalists would say that it's not going to happen to Bitcoin is just because there's so many miners doing Bitcoin. Is that why?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of security.
So, I mean, that could change.
Yeah. So there's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering your Dash transaction complete. It's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges. It's in multi-crypto wallets all over the place. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And again, big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us that 32 Dash per month to help us promote Dash on the air. I've long been a fan of Dash, and that's been true whether or not they've been a sponsor of this program.
The first time I ever got paid in a cryptocurrency, so earned it instead of buying a cryptocurrency, and wasn't just given it, was back way when, before the raid when you were allowed to use cryptocurrency, I recorded some ad and you paid me in Dash.
I think I also gave you some Dash when we first met.
No, it was Bitcoin Cash.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, because I think I used to give away both. I used to give both Dash and Bitcoin Cash, so I suspect you got both from me. Because I like to always give two.
I thought you gave me Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash.
Well, anyway, when I was doing the giveaways here in Keene to, like, hundreds of people, we did both Dash and Bitcoin Cash, because I always want people to have more than one cryptocurrency so they can see how the prices change and they're not always, you know, exactly the same or whatever. So, anyway, thanks. Big thanks to Dash.org. Let's go to the phones here. Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania, and then we got some of these financial suggestions and tips that Bonnie's going to share in a little bit. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Sister Bonnie, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Hello.
Well, this is the 1 week anniversary. I'm going to make this as brief as possible, and it'll be pretty quick. I got this
1 week anniversary?
Well, last week I had the call with the situation. I'm going to make this brief, you know.
What was that about?
First of all, he's on the 1 week delay, and to solve that problem, the 1 month delay, he can solve that problem by using the listen line like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you might want to mention that to him if he ever calls in again. But here's the situation here. Now, that's really a bad pun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, to make it brief, I was listening as I always do, and I happened to be on the line waiting. I had another topic. It never happened. Because I was game, you know, Ian? That's fine.
Okay.
So I heard his first call. He called in, and he pointed out that he's a month behind. Then he went, bah, bah, bah. You talked about this, that, and the other thing. And it was outdated. And then he said, he made the comment about, well, if I ever call in, go blah, 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 whatever. And then here I am. I go on the line with him. And I'm going to focus on one question I asked him. And that's all. And this is what one that disturbed me. And I'll give his answer. And then I'm also going to finish it up with the final call when he called back in. Now, my question was your stance on war. Now, his answer was that, you know, when it comes to things like that, he said, some people like,
I don't know why it really matters what he was saying, but if you can wrap this up, we'll
get into
it. I
think he said he didn't really know much about the Civil War.
All right, we're going to continue here in a moment. The number is 603-283-6160. Ricky's still obsessing over a guy.
Oregonians don't care about the Civil War.
Ricky Still's obsessing over a guy he talked to a week ago.
I didn't have any clue what he was referencing when he first said that.
There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.